Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, someone once told me, Father, I've broken many of the commandments, but I faithfully observed the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. I've taken good care of my elderly parents. I hope God considers this when I'm judged. On this Mother's Day, I begin by expressing my gratitude to so many adult children in our parish who have made countless sacrifices in order to properly care for their elderly parents, especially by providing for their spiritual needs and the reception of the sacraments before death. God will abundantly bless you for such charity. Secondly, I wish to thank the mothers of our parish for their genuine concern for the spiritual welfare of their children. By your prayers, good example, and mentoring, most of you are working tirelessly for the salvation of the immortal souls of your children. As good mothers, you want your family to be reunited in heaven. You want your husband and all your children to be together with you, enjoying everlasting happiness with God. Although the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil are like a deadly riptide pulling your children away from God and Christian values, your efforts will help them survive spiritually, return to safety, and save their immortal souls. Christ said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his soul?" Therefore, mothers must work, pray, and make many sacrifices for the salvation of their children. This is especially true when children have fallen away from the faith and are in grave spiritual danger, in spite of your best efforts. Ultimately, the choice is theirs, because God has created each of us with a free will. Sadly, too many parents today are solely focused on supernatural characteristics and worldly achievements of their children. Professional, academic, financial, athletic, etc. Although these things may have importance in the short term, and they are, they are often counterproductive to raising a virtuous adult. Time is short. Once lost, it never returns. So many youth spend their lives on frivolous things, enslaved to habitual sin. So many youth are lost through self-indulgence, materialism, and the internet. They have little or no thought of spiritual things or of God. There are many reasons for expressing our gratitude to our mothers. We owe our very life and preservation to our parents. In order to fulfill their important responsibilities and daily duties, mothers must often set aside their own personal needs and wants. The unconditional love and care of a good mother brings countless joys and blessings to a family. Today we offer our love and appreciation for all our mothers have done for us. My dearly beloved in Christ, consider the sufferings of your mother, the long months of pregnancy, the discomfort required to bring you into the world. After you were born, her problems really began. Consider the sleepless nights and restless days that you caused her when you were an infant, and in guiding you through the turbulent teenage years. Parents give their lives for their children. The least children can do is to give their parents love, obedience, and respect. God rewards those who show love, obedience, and respect to their parents. Just as children need love for a happy life, so also parents need the love of their children. Children should show love for their parents by signs of affection, helping them, by praying for them, and making the home a place of joy and peace. Children should be taught to follow the example of the Christ child who loved his parents, Mary and Saint Joseph. How good God has been to us. He created us and entrusted us to the care of our father and mother. In their goodness, we see a reflection of God's infinite love for us. Our first experience of love came from our mothers who loved and cared for us from the very beginning. Since our parents have been delegated by God to care for us, He gave us the fourth commandment so that we love and respect them in return for their care. A mother's sorrows can come from so many sources and are often very deep. They include defiance, disrespect, disobedience, ingratitude, selfishness, and a bad attitude from their children, backtalk, verbal abuse, and sometimes even physical abuse. When a father is addicted to drugs or alcohol, the family is plunged into misery and sorrow. When husbands are addicted to pornography, they often ignore their wives and children. Due to her endless duties and responsibilities to her family, especially the care of her children, a mother's work never ends. A good mother always worries about the spiritual and physical welfare of her children and their proper education because she wants to assure for them a good future and afterwards eternal salvation. This is precisely the most important goal of a mother, to one day see her husband and children safely with her in heaven. Good parents know what's best for their children, especially regarding moral issues, more than politicians, school boards, and YouTube. The church holds that parents are the first teachers of their children, and the family is the first school. Parents are always the primary educators of their sons and daughters. In these immoral times in which we live, parents often stand alone in educating their children and instilling in them the moral foundation of our faith. Sadly, for many husbands and fathers, going to heaven and eternal salvation are not their main concerns. As a result, they're not on the same page regarding the discipline and religious formation of their children. Instead of being the spiritual leader of the family, they sabotage family prayer, attendance at Mass, and Christian modesty. Instead of supporting their wives by following God's moral standards, they allow deadly occasions of sin, such as bad websites, television programs, movies, music, and dangerous company. It's crucial that as God has intended, both father and mother be on the same page and have the same expectations for proper behavior. Good parents provide external boundaries. They teach, limit, correct, and provide consequences. Discipline and love are two different sides of the same coin. By discipline, we mean that a child is a disciple of his parents and learns from them how to prepare for his future in this life and in eternity. Parents need a willing student or disciple because although they can correct bad behavior, they can't control attitude or force the rule of the heart, just as God does not force our free will. Father Gerardo's mother was very strong in shielding and protecting him from bad companions. Sometimes he even felt embarrassed when she drove them away. For example, when some of them knocked at the door, Luis wondered how she would react. One person was startled when she forcefully said, "Leave and don't ever come back." Looking back upon these incidents, Father Gerardo deeply appreciates his mother's love and care for his immortal soul. If you've been blessed with a good mother and she's still alive, speak to her and let her know how much you love and appreciate her. So I'll close with a story entitled, "No More Oatmeal Kisses." A young mother, Irma Bombeck, writes, "I know people have written before about the empty nest syndrome, that lonely period after children are grown and gone. Right now, I'm up to my eyeballs in laundry and muddy boots. The baby is teething. The boys are fighting. My husband just called and said to eat without him, and I fell off my diet. Okay, one of these days you'll shout, 'Why don't you kids grow up and act your age?' And they will. Or, 'You guys get outside and find yourselves something to do and don't slam the door.' And they won't. You straighten up the boy's bedroom, neat and tidy, junk discarded, bedspread tucked and smooth, toys displayed on their shelves, hangers in the closet, animals caged. And you'll say out loud, "Now I want it to stay this way," and it will. You'll prepare a perfect dinner with a salad that hasn't been picked to death, and a cake with no finger traces in the icing. And you'll say, "Now there's a meal for company," and you'll eat it alone. You'll say, "I want complete privacy on the phone. No dancing around, no demolition crews. Silence, do you hear?" And you'll have it. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti. No more bedspreads to protect the couch from damp bottoms. No more gates to stumble over at the top of the basement steps. No more playpens to arrange a room around. No more anxious nights under a vaporizer tent. No more iron-on patches, rubber bands for ponytails, tight boots, or wet, knotted shoestrings. Imagine a lipstick with a point on it. No more babysitter for New Year's Eve. Washing clothes only once a week. Having your teeth cleaned without a baby on your lap. No carpools, no blaring radios. No washing her hair at 11 o'clock at night. Having your own roll of scotch tape. Think about it. No more Christmas presents out of toothpicks and library paste. No more sloppy oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairy. No giggles in the dark. No knees to heal. No responsibility. Only a voice crying, "Why don't you grow up?" And the silent echo, "I did." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.